We're going to be back over in the book of Colossians. We've been working our way through the first chapter here in Colossians. And so what I'm going to have you do is open to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. We do want to welcome also everyone listening by over the internet. We're glad that you're here. And look at Colossians, chapter number 1. I think by this point, you've been with us for a while now studying this passage here. You should have a pretty good... You probably have it all memorized. But look at Colossians chapter number 1, verse 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." Now look at that last statement there. And what does it say? Let's all read it out loud together. "That in all things he might have the preeminence." Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we have this morning to look into your word. We come away from the busyness of life and just kind of allow your word really to settle our hearts and our minds now down and not so much be distracted by the everyday situations of life that we face, but really to focus, to take this next little bit here to really focus and think about your word, think about the glory that you promise that lies ahead for us as members of the body of Christ. And then, having taken this time to fill our hearts, our minds, our souls with the truth of your word, then to take this back out into life, and as we face life, to face it from the standpoint of what you are doing and the realization of what you're doing. And therefore not to allow the winds of doctrine in this world to unsettle us and to take us off course. So, Father, we thank you for the marvelous truths that are here. And we ask, Father, that you might help us to really see with more precision and detail and glory, the glory that is here. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. All right, let me just do a couple things up here real quick. Make some room here on the board, if we can. As we start here today, looking at this passage, I'm going to ask you to turn back with me, hold Colossians there, and turn back with me over to Psalms 115. Psalms 115, and then you're also going to want to get Genesis 1:1. This is going to be a little bit of review, but I trust that this might help in terms of piecing together the significance of what Paul is saying in Colossians chapter number 1. So you're going to want to have Genesis 1, you're going to want to have Psalms 115, and then you're going to still have Colossians chapter 1 there. So Psalms 115. Now, Genesis 1:1 in your King James Bible, what does it say there? In the beginning what? God created the heaven and the earth. Now, from what you know in the New Testament, and not just the New Testament, but what you know, when that verse says, "In the beginning God created," which member of the Godhead was the person who actually spoke everything into existence? That's right, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. So, yes, God created all things by Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ is the Word who spoke everything into existence out of absolutely nothing. All right, where sometimes people will say, well, where was God when God created heaven and earth? He was in everlasting. That's his eternal dwelling place, everlasting to everlasting. And so what he does is that he literally speaks the whole physical creation into existence. And think about that as well. In order to speak a physical creation and existence, think about all the non-visible things that also were created. Think about gravity. Gravity's real, right? But you can't see it. You see what it does. You think about the idea of the physics. Think about the dimensions, space, time. So he not only creates the material world, but in order to create that material world, he also created invisible things that are necessary in order for a material world to exist. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the one who created all that, and he spoke it. You talk about power. The Apostle Paul says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. So it's the same word that spoke it all into existence that maintains it in its existence. Okay? And so when that, it says, in the beginning God created the what? The heaven. You notice now in your King James Bible, heaven is singular in that verse. Everybody, did you notice that? When you look at chapter 2, verse 1, thus the what? Notice there it's plural. The heavens and the earth. And the reason is that in chapter 1, he divides the various heavens. Okay? But in your King James Bible, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven, singular, and the earth. The new translations change that, is what they do. They want to make, in the beginning God created the heavens. They change it, all right? And you'll hear different people. Well, anyway, I've got to stay on track here. So, think about that. So he creates two realms, heaven and earth, right? Are both realms real? How do you know they're real? Well, for one thing, he tells you. Okay? None of us were there when it happens, but when it happened, but the passage makes it very, very real. It tells us that they're real. You know, earth is real. Heaven's real. Look with me this time over to Psalms 115. This will be another passage you've already seen before. Look over to Psalms 115. Now this time it's going to be verse 16. So Psalms 115, and then look at verse 16. It says, the heaven, even the heavens. So see, he acknowledges the different levels. Okay, the first, second, third heavens, as it were. But he said, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Do you see that? So there's this clear distinction between the two realms. Man was created from which realm, heaven or earth? And what in particular? What part of the earth? The dirt, the dust, or the ground. Okay, that is my classic verse that I appeal to that allows me to ride motocross. I love riding dirt bikes. Okay, it says, "From dirt thou art, to dirt shalt thou return." So I go back when I can. Not maybe once in a while I get to go to the track. Anyway, that's a really bad explanation of that verse, isn't it? But there's all kinds. We do all kinds of things. For those of you that love hockey, all right, well, you realize you're going to be able to play hockey in heaven because it says the face of the deep is frozen. Come on! So people are waiting for me to find the verse about being able to play golf in heaven. I haven't found the particular verse yet. I know it's there somewhere. Anyway, so but look at that verse. It says, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has He given to the children of men." So you want to understand that with relationship to the creation of man, humanity, that the realm in which they were going to live and serve and function and have dominion is clearly the earth. It's not the heavens. It's the earth. And then the Apostle Paul comes along and says something like this. Are you in Colossians there? On your way to Colossians, go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Look at Ephesians in chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Watch verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Where now? In heavenly places in Christ. Huh. That's kind of different. If the earth was given to the children of men, why would the Apostle Paul say that we as members of the body of Christ, that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, not in the earth, but in the heavenly places? That's kind of a change. That's a big deal. That's a big difference. If you look at Ephesians 2... Look at Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 6. In fact, if you go back to verse 4, he says, "But God who is rich in mercy..." Aren't we glad for that, by the way? So Ephesians 2, 4, it says, "But God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us," which is Calvary, "even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up..." Now what's the next word there? Okay, that's together. And that's not simply together with each other, but more importantly, together with you, with Christ. And made us sit together in which realm? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you see the idea of sit together, the idea is place of authority, rulership, position. So let me ask it this way. You can go back to Colossians 1 now. What is the realm and destiny for the church, the body of Christ? Is it the earth or is it the heavenly places? Where are you going to go when you die, assuming you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? Heavenly places. How long are you going to be there? Okay, let me do it this way. Okay, pop quiz. True or false? I haven't given you the question yet. Awesome. Yeah, that means I have to word it so we get that the right answer. Okay. Okay. So now I have to change the question. No. Okay. So when we die, we're going to go to heaven to be with the Lord. And then, okay, now here comes the question, true or false. When Christ returns to establish His kingdom on this earth, we will return with Him to reign as well. True or false? Okay, so who said true? No, that was false. I couldn't, off the cuff, quickly figure out how to reword it to make the other one. Okay, so bear with me here. But haven't we generally been taught that when Christ returns, then we're all going to come back with Him and reign on the earth with Him? That's a pretty common view. But if the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle that Jesus Christ raised up for the present dispensation of grace, he tells us that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been raised up and set together with Christ in heavenly places. Does he think we're going to come back to the earth and reign with Christ on the earth? Does the Apostle Paul think that? He didn't think that, did he? All right. Now, I know I mentioned to you to go back to Colossians 1, but go back to Ephesians 2 there. Notice something else in Ephesians 2. So look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Watch this now. So verse 6, it says, "Hath been raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Look at verse 7 now. You see the first word there? What is that word? And what does that word mean? That's the purpose, the intent, the reason. So that it's in the ages to come. And notice ages is plural. So it's going to go on for a long time. So in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Where are you going to be in the ages to come? You're going to be in the heavenly places. And God is going to show to you the body of Christ and through you not just the riches of His grace, but the exceeding riches of His grace. Each new age that are going to come will be marked by God outdoing the previous age with regard to how rich He is in His grace. Amen. That's kind of interesting. Think about that. All eternity, God is going to just show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ. He's going to put the Lord Jesus Christ on display in you in the heavenly places. By the way, and on the earth. Believe me, He's not going to abandon the earth at all. But relative to the body of Christ, that's what He's going to be doing out there in the heavenly places. And the ages upon the ages upon the ages, God is just... You've heard me kind of describe it this way before. You guys know me, right? So you have to put up with the foolishness of preaching. So we're going to be up there in heavenly places. It's going to so wow us beyond what even we now can think. Just getting there. And then you're going to have gone through that first age and just so amazed and wonderful and wow and exciting, the beauty, the glory, spectacular nature of it all. And then He's going to say, "Okay, are you ready for show number two? And we're going to say, I don't know, Lord, I don't think we can handle it anymore. And so the next stage is going to come, and it's just going to be overwhelming with its glory and its beauty. And then after that age is done, he's going to say, okay, you guys, no, Lord, I don't think I can handle any more glory and grace and beauty. Understand, that's being kind of crazy, but it's going to be like that. The exceeding, if we look even at the physical creation out there now in its fallen state and can wonder at the beauty and amazing nature of it, how much more beyond that, when the curse is not only lifted from the earth, but when the blackness and darkness that controls the heavens as it were now, when all that is removed and the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is shines throughout all the distant regions of the universe, world without end. That world's never going to end. And what did the saints say to that? Amen. Like, okay, Lord, anytime. Listen, it's going to be wonderful. Just amazing. And all of that is in His Word. It's like He's going to keep. It's like He's going to say, okay, open your Bibles. We're going to turn to this passage. And He said, Lord, I don't think I can handle anymore. He said, you can. Come on, go with me. God's Word liveth and abideth forever. Now go back with me to Colossians 1. Paul is wanting the Colossians here to let these things get into their heart, their mind, their soul. And by extension, he wants these to get into our heart and our mind, our soul. That there is a reason that God delivered us from the power of darkness. He took us out of that kingdom and He put us into this kingdom, the kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom in which He is going to manifest the extensive nature of His Son. Why His Son is dear to Him. He's going to put that on display. And in translating us into that kingdom, He forgave us of all of our sins based upon the blood of Christ. Verse 15 in Colossians 1. He is the image of the invisible God. We studied that already. God already has His image. It's Christ. That's why I don't make images. And He says, who is the image of the invisible God. Notice, the firstborn of every creature. That's an interesting verse right there. You see the word firstborn. When people see that word firstborn, they tend to think of it in relationship to His physical birth. But that phrase, firstborn, it's not a reference to His birth. It's a reference to His resurrection. Look with me, if you would, whole Colossians chapter number 1. Go back to Romans 8. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Look at Romans in chapter number 8 here. Don't you love this? The sound of pages turning in your Bibles. That's so cool. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Watch this. Romans 8:29. It says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. God has a predetermined destiny for the body of Christ. Now, who can get in the body of Christ? Anyone can. So, predestination has nothing to do with personal salvation. It's not Calvinism. Predestination has to do with the destiny of the body of Christ in this particular verse. So, that verse says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And what is the predetermined destiny for the body of Christ? Look at that next phrase. To be conformed to the image of His Son. That's your predetermined destiny. God has, as a member of the body of Christ, He's given you a predetermined destiny that you are going to be perfectly conformed to the image of His Son. Well, didn't we see a passage in Colossians 1 about His Son, Christ, is the image of God? You're going to be perfectly conformed to the image of His Son. You're not going to be God. That's not what that verse is saying. But you're going to be perfectly conformed to the image of God's Son. The image of God's Son is Jesus Christ. Is God pleased with Christ? Do you think there might be a connection, therefore, with how He sees you? It says, "Who, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be," now there's our word, the firstborn among many brethren. The word firstborn is not a reference to physical birth. It's not even a reference to born again. Listen, born again has to do with Israel's program. That phrase, that word firstborn, is a reference to His resurrection. Christ tasted death for every man. He entered into death Himself. And when He came up in resurrection, one of the many reasons as to why He came up in resurrection is that in Himself was going to be created a brand new species of humanity. And that's what you're a part of. A brand new species of humanity. That verse says, verse 30 says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. God calls you by the gospel. And whom He called, then He also what? That's at verse 30. What's it say there? Whom He called, then He also what now? Justified. So when you trusted the gospel, when you trusted Christ for your personal salvation, God declared you righteous. He justified you. Look at the next one. And whom He justified, then He also what? What does your future look like? Yeah, now it may not look like that tomorrow, but but it might. What if the rapture happens, right? Did you notice as you read these passages? For example, when He said justified, I'm sorry, called, justified, glorified. What's the tense of those? They're all past. Past tense. God already sees this done. So how should we see it? That's a walk of faith. When we're going through the various challenges here, now, this life, which we all have, the sufferings of this present time, we all share them, whatever they might be, it's so critical and helpful to always remember in the back of our mind, in our heart, God, He calls those things which be not as though they were, Paul says in Romans. God sees this already done. He already sees you seated in those heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll turn back with me over to Colossians chapter number 1 then, when He says in Colossians 1 verse 15 about the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That idea, firstborn, in His resurrection, He now is forming a new species of creature, a new type of creature, a new humanity. Think about it this way. Remember we read a moment ago in Psalms 115, what realm did He give to man? The earth. Is man limited to the earth? If man wants to go somewhere other than the earth, such as the moon, what do they have to do? They've got to bring earth's nature with them. Right? They've got to put themselves in a suit that has the same... What's the barometric pressure on the earth? I forget what it is. But they have to take earth's environment, the oxygen, the pressure. They have to take it with them. So when they're talking about going to Mars, they're going to have to take the nature of earth with them. All right? It's clearly limited and very risky. Well, not so with God. He is forming a new species of humanity of which you are a part. You're not going to have to take an earth suit with you to heaven. When Jesus Christ comes from the body of Christ, He is going to give to all members of the body of Christ. In fact, if you know the passage, turn back to the left. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. Watch this now. It says in Philippians 3:20, it says this, for our conversation is where? It's in heaven. That's the realm. That's our destiny. That's our life. Okay, that's where we're going to live forever. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look. So He's there now, and we're looking for Him to come. He's in a real place that we are going to go to. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what's He going to do? Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Now, let's kind of stay in that verse. You see verse 21, right at the end. This, He's able to subdue all things. Do you see the all things? Put a marker here. We're coming back. Go to Colossians now. Go back to Colossians 1. You see those all things? Now watch this. Look in Colossians chapter number 1. This time it's in verse 16. It says, for by Him were... Now what are the next two words? There's those two words again. It says, for by Him were all things created that are where? In what realm? Okay, you've got heaven. And then what's the other realm, obviously? Earth, okay? We've done this before, so we can kind of move through this, all right? He says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. And then He says, visible and invisible. Now, in the two realms, which would be... What would be visible? What's that mean? It means you can see them. And so, in the two realms, which is it that you can't yet see? The invisible. See that? He goes on to say, whether they be. And then He tells you, He lists them. What are they? Thrones. Okay, so on the earth, are there thrones? Are there dominions? Are there principalities? Are there powers? In Ephesians, He adds the one mights. M-I-G-H-T-S, not Mighty Mouse, mites, okay? He also adds every name that's named. So, what's He doing here? What's the Holy Spirit doing here in this passage? He's seeking to convey, he's seeking to help us understand that by understanding, seeing in the earth the things that we can physically see physically, this enables us to understand that those same things exist in this realm. Therefore, are there thrones on the earth? Then what must there be in the heavenly places? There must be thrones in heavenly places. Are there dominions on the earth? Therefore, what must there be in the heavenly places? Dominions, same thing. How about principalities and powers on earth? How about mice? You see, there's an absolute correspondence. The Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, He's seeking to help the Colossians, seeking to help us understand that if we can see and appreciate the nature of these things on earth that you can see, He wants us to understand that in the realm of the heavenly places, we can't see it right now, but those exist as well. Now, I am not saying that such as there's a throne of the United States of America on the earth, therefore there must be a throne of the United States of America in the heavenly places. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? Like back in... you understand. I'm saying this. The Scripture is saying this. That when Jesus Christ created heaven and earth, He didn't simply create the material things, the fish, the trees, the animals, the environment, the dimensions. But He created both realms on purpose. If in those realms He created thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, mights, and everything. You understand? If He created those positions in both realms, what does that mean about the creation that He created? What's that? It's patterned. This actually was patterned after this. What else does it mean? What's that? There's order. Keep going. What else would it mean? I couldn't even say it. Yeah, if he has these positions, are they all like all the property in China right now? It's all vacant. He created them to be occupied. Guess what? You're going there. Isn't that wonderful? That's real. You're going there. If Jesus Christ created heaven and earth, and in those realms that are real, He created that with structure, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. That means He has a purpose for it all. Intention, design. Yeah, wow. When that, look at that verse again. Look at Colossians chapter number 1:16. Colossians 1:16. It says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by Him and for Him." So think about that. He stands out there on the expanse of everlasting, and He speaks the creation into existence, and that creation has in it, on purpose, by design, those thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, places to occupy, places that the administration and the government of heaven and earth will be functioning. When the passage back up there in verse 15, when it says this, right at the end, in fact, the whole verse, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Listen, He created Adam from the dust of the earth. In Adam all die. In Christ shall all be made alive. You trust Christ, and you are going to be, and you have trusted Christ, so you are going to be a member of that firstborn of every creature. He absolutely is creating a new species of humanity that is going to serve with Him on His behalf in both of those realms. The nation of Israel is going to be His nation on the earth. They will rule with Him in those thrones, dominions, principalities and powers over the earth. They will rule in glorified, resurrected, terrestrial bodies. Bodies that will never die. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, you are going to rule with the Lord Jesus Christ in one of those thrones, dominions, principalities and powers, mights and so forth, and or every name that's named, in a glorified, resurrected, celestial body. They're different bodies. Amen. People say, "Will we be able to come to the earth?" Well, if you've got a celestial body, what do you think the answer is? How about yes? The limitation is not going to be for the person with the celestial body. It's going to be the person with the terrestrial body. You know. Now, did you see the all things that Colossians 1:16 said? Go back with me, if you would, to Philippians. Go back just to the left, one page there. Philippians chapter number 3. Remember, I asked you to hold this verse in mind. Philippians 3. Watch this. So He's going to change these vile bodies. We're looking for Him to come for us. So Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven. That's where we're going to go. And we're looking for Christ to come from there to do something. Verse 21. Who shall change our vile body. By the way, did you know you had a vile body? Yeah. She says no surprise there. Okay. And that's my gorgeous, beautiful wife saying that, by the way. Okay. You know, so... But I better not get into trouble here. But boy, you think about these bodies. Man, It isn't funny, but all the time and the energy and effort that we all spend to try to, you know, keep things looking right, you know, and everything. And the Lord Jesus, all the time and the energy and the money and the sweat and the tears and the vitamins and the everything that we take to try to, the Lord Jesus Christ, boom, that fast, He's going to give us a glorious body like unto His body. It's not going to cost Him any vitamins or minerals. Or, and I take vitamins. I do that. Someone recently texted me about, you know, is it inappropriate to kind of be aware of your health? No. Definitely be aware of your health, for sure. Even the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he gave him some about his health concerns. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and then often infirmities. Absolutely take care of that temple, for sure. But realize that you're fighting a losing battle. Okay, but the Lord Himself is going to come, and when we hear that shout, look at this verse. What's going to be in that shout is includes this: who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His what? His glorious body. Amen. You're going to get a new body. Yes, amen, right? You're going to get a new glorified body. Amen. It's going to be a body fashioned like unto the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the reasons that the Apostle Paul, when he uses this vile body, is not only because it's vile, it has sin in it, and it always trusts self and self-righteousness, things like that. But the limitations of this body are bound to the earth, and it's going back to the dust of the ground. So, if the destiny of the body of Christ is the heavenly places, you have to have a change. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. A change has to occur. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us, included in that shout is the promise of that change. Look at the last part of that verse now. This is what I want you to keep in mind. It says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working. When you see the working there, according to the working out of His plan. According to the working whereby He is able even to subdue what? All what things? Those thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and mights. The same plan and purpose that He has, but that same working, that same plan by which He is going to implement His power and authority to bring all of the thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers in the heavens and the earth, both programs, that same purposes for you and me as believers to have a new, glorified, resurrected body fashioned like unto the glorious body of Christ in the celestial realm. We truly are going to be part of, He's the firstborn of every creature. And you're in that group. You're part of that new species of humanity. Now, I'm out of time here. Although we did start late, so should I... Anyway, think about it this way. Do we have a future glory ahead? Yes. Is it truly amazing? Yes. Why should we believe these things? Because that's what it says. That's why. If you find yourself, you know, your feelings go up and down and you wrestle with, you know, whether you should believe these things, what should you tell your feelings? Well, you can't say it publicly, but what should you tell your feelings? Right? You got to tell your feelings, listen, you're not my boss. You're not my authority. You've always led me astray. I'm going to trust God's Word. A walk of faith is what you decide to do with these verses. You trust God's Word. We all have those battles with our feelings. And you have to allow the voice of God's Word to be the authority that's going to bring you to that place of rest and peace. Because your feelings aren't going to let you do that. Unless you get what you want. But then they just deceived you. All those thrones, those dominions, principalities, and powers, we're going to continue to see. When he says in this context of Colossians, he translated us from the power of darkness. Someone else wanted all those realms. Who was that? That was Satan. He had an absolute plan to usurp all of those realms, all those things in both realms. And we'll talk more about that next time. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by His wonderful gospel, He took us out of that kingdom, the kingdom of rebellion, that wanted to rebel, it wanted to take all that by usurpation and rebellion. And He put us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the one who truly is not only the creator of those realms, but is going to put you in those realms to the glory of God the Father. And what do the saints say to that?
Amen.
Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time to study Your Word, to think about these things as we've done for many weeks now, and just to allow them to sink deeper and deeper and establish deep roots in our heart and our mind, our soul, so that as we go through the various challenges of life each and every day, we really can hear Your voice say to us that You have translated us from the power of darkness, delivered us from the power of darkness, and You translate us into the kingdom of Your dear Son. And that is how You see us. Thank You, Lord, for Your gracious mercy and kindness to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.